Our I Am series is continuing, and we are looking at the seven sayings of Jesus, and there's a video. Man, I got so much going on. Okay, here's the God's honest truth, y'all. Leanne is trying to make me a little cooler, and I am just not cool. She's trying to have a little walk-up video for me, and I keep messing it up. So, sorry, Leanne, I'll try to do better. So, our I Am series is continuing, and we're looking at the seven sayings from the Gospel of John in which Jesus says, I am. Now, Leanne did a great job last week of explaining to you sort of the hugeness of this statement that Jesus is making. We remember that Moses asks, who should I say sent me? And God names himself, I am. Tell them, I am sent me. And so Jewish culture was such that the words I am really just weren't used because that was God's name. And so Jesus telling people, I am, is a statement. It is a statement in which Jesus is claiming his divinity. He is saying, I am fully God, and yet I am fully human in this claim that I am. And today we're going to look at the idea that I am the good shepherd. Now, honestly, this is a metaphor that is a little lost on us. It's a little lost on me. I mean, I grew up with a farm, and we had cows. If it said, I am the good rancher, I would know exactly what Jesus was talking about. But when he says, I am the good shepherd, I don't really understand all that goes with that. Sheep aren't very smart. Cows are brilliant relative to sheep. Now, this is a relative statement, y'all. Cows really are not that smart. But if you are a sheep, you need to be led around. You need to be shown where there is food, where there is water, and you need to be protected because a sheep is just a right-sized meal for a wolf or a mountain lion or a bear. You know, I've joked that everybody wants to eat Mr. Bob White down in South Texas. Well, everybody else wants to eat a sheep because they're just a right-sized meal for many predators. Sheep is a metaphor that is used throughout the scripture to describe God's people. And shepherd is often used also to describe the leaders of God's people. Oftentimes, it's pastors, not always. But in this case, what we're talking about is Jesus being the shepherd of all of the sheep. The people that Jesus were speaking to would have understood this precisely because sheep were a part of their life. It was a part of their culture. They all understood how really stupid sheep are. And, you know, the truth of it is, being compared to a sheep is not really very flattering. They're stupid. They need a shepherd to show them where to eat and drink. They don't smell good, and everybody wants to eat them. They need guidance and protection. But we are frequently referred to as God's sheep. We are God's sheep. And so, but again, I've talked about there's two contexts in which we're talking about this. One is God or Jesus as the shepherd, and then another where we have shepherds of little flocks, right? Shepherds of the little flocks, like pastors often who are referred to as shepherds. And so I wanted to share with you a couple of titles that pastors have read about you, the sheep of their flock. But these sheep bite. That's a good one. It's a good book too, by the way. And then there's this one that's called They Smell Like Sheep. And these are books that pastors have read about sort of how to handle their congregations. And our passage that we're reading today from the Gospel of John can really speak to both of those contexts. Context of the shepherd being a pastor, and then the context of us all being a part of God's flock, Jesus's sheep. So our text today comes from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. So hear these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It's the word of God for the people of God. So before we dig too deep into the rest of this text, I want to point out two things to you that really stand out at first reading. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The Greek word that is used here is kenosko. And this is a word that means something other than like quality of good. It is like somebody that you know well, somebody who does wonderful things for you and loves you. So it might be used like in a small town. If you had a doctor that sort of was beloved by everybody, you might refer to him as the good doctor. Or you have a pastor that's been with you for a long, long time, and we refer to the good pastor. It's a different kind of good. This is not about his effectiveness. This is about the fact that he's beautiful in the way that he interacts with us. It's lovely in the way that he interacts with the people and with his sheep. And that's the kind of good shepherd that Jesus is describing himself as. He's not saying, I'm good at my job. He's saying, what I'm doing is beautiful and lovely as the shepherd. The second thing is in verse 14. He says, I know them and they know me. The Greek word here means more than know. Like I might know your name. The implication here is that it's a much more intimate understanding of knowing. It's a meaning in which we really understand who the others are. So this is not just a no, but this is a really intimate understanding of who and whose you are. It's a closeness that goes beyond just merely knowing you. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now to the original hearer of this, this might sound like hyperbole, an overstatement. And we may think that if we're talking about a real shepherd, this is hyperbole. And that's not true. In the times of Jesus, a shepherd was expected to lay down his life in defense of the sheep. They saw it as not just an obligation, but their calling in life. The prophet Amos speaks of rescuing parts of the sheep from the mouths of the beast. And that was the rule. Exodus 22 tells shepherds that if a beast comes and takes your sheep, that you are to go and take the parts and bring them as proof that you have lost this sheep. And so the job of a shepherd was really not just to sort of care for the sheep as best he can. The job of the shepherd was to lay down his life to protect the sheep, to fend off the wild beasts that want to devour them, to keep them safe. And then Jesus makes a contrast between the hired hand and the good shepherd. Now, this can be seen as two things. It can be seen as Jesus talking about people that are hired hands, maybe even acting as pastors, but don't really buy into their role as a shepherd, that don't really buy into, hey, I'm the pastor of this flock, and it's my place to lay down my life for these people in any way possible. It's possible that Jesus is talking about maybe pastors that are not really stepping up to the throne, stepping up to their calling, what they're being called to. The other part of this, we can understand that he might be talking about false prophets, ones who are coming and whose voice we might think is Jesus, but is not. But I will tell you this, that as I have mentored pastors as they're beginning their ministry, I hear their language change as they begin to understand and know their people. Not know, but know in this intimate way in which Jesus is talking about. You see, a shepherd knew every sheep. A shepherd knew how every sheep moved. Each one moved a little differently, and he could recognize that sheep by the way it moved, or maybe by the color, or the fact that he was missing a piece of hair in some particular place. A shepherd would recognize the individual sounds of sheep. He could recognize fear or uncomfortableness by the sounds that they make. And I hear it in my clergy friends as they get to know the sheep of their flock. Their vocabulary changes. And it's not these people, it's my people that is a part of their vocabulary. This text says something to us in the context of all of us being God's sheep. We can be both sheep and shepherd. We can be a part of the flock and still guide and protect. In the end, we are all God's children. And we should look out for our fellow sheep that are in our midst. And you, as leaders of our church, are part shepherd of our church. You're helping to guide and lead our flock as a whole. We should take seriously this responsibility of caring for our neighbor, our loved ones, our fellow sheep, if you will. On June 22nd in 1996, the KKK had a rally in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They'd gotten a permit, and they had said, "We're going to have this rally in Ann Arbor, Michigan." And they showed up, all 20 of them. And word had gotten out that the KKK was coming to town and that they were going to protest on the steps of our town hall. And so counter-protesters showed up, and they numbered about 200. And somehow, I don't know why, nobody really knows exactly how this happened, but one of the alleged KKK protesters ended up amongst the midst of the counter-protesters, these 200 people. He had a Confederate shirt flag on, and whomever was speaking in the counter-protesters said, "There is a Klansman in our midst." And they all turned on him, and they chased him, and they ran after him, and they caught him, and they knocked him to the ground, and they started to kick and beat him and hit him with their placards of, "We hate the KKK" signs, and they were hitting him with them. And an 18-year-old black woman that attended Michigan University threw herself over him in order to protect him. Her name was Keisha Thomas. She's since gone on to be kind of an activist. I think we have a picture, maybe, of this. No? Yes. There she is in her USA sweatshirt, covering this man. And they initially continued to try to beat the man, but they were hitting her, and eventually they stopped, and the whole attitude of the whole place changed. She's known for this. It's her sort of 15 minutes of fame, and she's gone on to do some other wonderful work. And you'll read a bunch of interviews about it. And in one of the interviews, they asked her, "Why would you do that? Why would you cover up somebody who stands for all the things that you hate and abhor and don't want in our country?" And her response was, "He's still someone's child." She is, in essence, saying that he is a part of God's flock and deserves protection. Even if I disagree with his politics and with the way he thinks about race, he is still God's child, and he deserves protection. She is in essence saying, "I know you are important to God, and I will protect you with myself." Jesus says, "I know you." He is saying, "You are important to me, and I value you so much, I will lay down my life for you." In this particular instance, Jesus is not expressing his willingness to lay down his life for you. Jesus is telling us what he is here to do. This is a foreshadowing of what Jesus will do on your behalf. There's something else that we need to know about sheep. Leanne talked about this last week, about how the sheep know the shepherd's voice and they follow him. John 10, 4 through 5 says this about sheep. "When he has brought out all his own," talking about the shepherd, "he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." The shepherd spent so much time with them, the sheep recognized his voice. They recognized the way he moved. They could recognize if he was frightened, if he was scared. And he knew the sheep so well, as we have talked about. I know that Jesus knows you. Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows your every thought. Jesus, in fact, knows you better than you know yourself. It's just a fact. And if you think you can hide something from Jesus, you're mistaken. My question for you this day is, do you know Jesus? Do you know him well enough to recognize his voice? Can you sort out his voice from the clamor of the world or the clamor of the evil one? Can you recognize Jesus' voice when he calls to you? Do you know Jesus? Can you recognize his voice? Do you spend enough time with him to recognize when he is at work in your life and when he is not? Do you spend enough time with Jesus to recognize his voice when he calls your name? I would suggest to you that the love that he shows for us as he has laid down his life for us is something that we should return. We should make knowing Jesus a part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We should know him so well that we recognize his voice when he calls to us. We can recognize the voice of the tempter or the world when it calls to us. Jesus says to us, because I am the good shepherd, I know you. I know everything about you. I love you. I love you so much that I have laid down my life that you might receive forgiveness and eternal life. You should give that kind of love some more time, some more effort, some more prayer, some more scripture reading, some more time caring for your neighbor. Because in doing that, you will come to know Christ better. And you will be able to recognize his voice when he calls to you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know us better than we know ourselves. We thank you for your son Jesus and his willingness to lay down his life for your flock, for his flock. Father, we are so grateful for that great love. Help us to learn to hear your voice, to know your voice better as it calls to us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.